Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project.
So while we're talking about isolation and othering, we absolutely have to bring up Bertha from Jane Eyre. And just as a reminder to our listeners at home, Bertha is the first wife of Mr. Rochester, the infamous wife in the attic. Yeah. And as a context, she is, you know, hidden away from all but one or two caretakers. Rochester himself, of course, knows she's up there, but nobody else in the surrounding community knows that she is there. And she is
Except Mrs. Poole.
She does have some form of mental illness. You know, yeah. She's referred to in the period term as being mad.
Yeah.
And so we absolutely have to talk about, that's the ultimate isolation there, isn't it, Alice?
Oh,
she's
my
in
God.
The attic for years.
I know. When I first read Jane Eyre as a child, I was just horrified by this. And I was scared by the visual descriptions of her scenes, the way that Bronte writes her character when Jane encounters her, and all the stuff before Jane encounters her, leading up to, you know, when Jane thinks it's Mrs. Poole. Mrs. Poole is Bertha's caretaker, and you know, she's the only person that knows about Bertha except Rochester for most of the story. And you know, the scenes where there's that kind of spooky, almost supernatural feeling, you know, about Bertha, Mrs. Poole, what Jane sees or hears and that kind of stuff, was very creepy to me as a child. Very reminiscent of some of the creepy stuff in Dracula, for example. I thought there was a similarity there even as a kid. Now, as I got older and read Jane Eyre, poor old Bertha, I felt badly for her, and it kind of pissed me off. You know, I felt like she was very mistreated. I mean, we had all the sympathy for Jane and Helen and the kids in the orphanage, and we had all the sympathy for the way that Jane was treated by her aunt when she was locked in the Red Room and all that stuff. But you know, we weren't really supposed to feel very sympathetic towards Bertha because she was insane and she'd done all these horrible things, according to Rochester. You know, and I got kind of upset by that because I was like, well, we're only really getting one side of her story, and it's not her side. So I guess I always ended up thinking, you know, from the modern perspective, if you will, was she, quote, mad, unquote, as in maybe she had bipolar disorder or some mental problem that was worse than bipolar disorder, or was she just a kind of a strong, tempestuous female personality who behaved in ways against her cultural norms? You know, I mean, these questions, I ask them, you know, because we only get Rochester's side of Bertha's story, and a little bit from her brother, but that's kind of also through Rochester in a weird way. So, you know what I mean? I feel like those were challenging thoughts for me in terms of poor old Bertha.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And you're right that overall we have seen that softening of how we view Bertha, mm-hmm. of how people who write books written from her perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is the protagonist in some books. I know that you had mentioned you had read one that mm-hmm. was written from her perspective, I believe. I don't remember the title.
I don't remember either, but I remember talking about it with you.
Right. But yes, and part of it is just that we as a society are better mm-hmm. at understanding and empathizing with people with mental illnesses. We definitely still have major stigma issues,
yes.
and access to treatment issues.
Yeah,
and that's but I would say we're definitely better than we were.
We are.
Know, in the
we are. We are. And historically, you know, we can look back, and certain things will pop out for you and pop out for me. For me, you know, as a young kid, I was always fascinated with the Kennedy family in America because JFK was killed the year I was born. And so I always felt like that was a connection of some strange, you know, I always remembered his death date because it was the year I was born, you know, 1963. Ooh. And so as a young person, I read a lot of biographies about the Kennedys and everything. And in terms of Bertha, when I was young and read about Bertha, I always came to mind was Rosemary Kennedy, JFK's sister. And she was the oldest of the Kennedy kids, and her, when she was being born at home, I mean, back in the day that births were at home, the nurse delayed the mother from having the baby, you know, basically forced her to, you know, keep that baby inside of her, and because the doctor wasn't there yet, and that caused a harmful loss of oxygen to Rosemary, so that as she was growing up, she had seizures and mood swings. And by the time she was a teenager, her father, Joe Kennedy, was very worried about how her occasionally erratic behavior would embarrass or shame his family and damage, you know, JFK and Roberts and Joe Kennedy Jr., before he was killed in the war, political careers. I mean, Joe Kennedy had a lot of political aspirations for himself and his children. And he had Rosemary lobotomized when she was 23 years old without even telling his wife. So her mother had no idea this operation was happening. And it was a horrific failure that it left the girl with an intellectual capacity of a two-year-old, and she was unable to speak and didn't really have much movement of her own after that. And she spent the rest of her life, as long as her father was alive, in an institution. And once he passed away, her family, her mother, slowly started to get her more and more integrated back into the family. But they couldn't do anything about her condition. It was, her brain was destroyed. So I, you know, as in the years that I've been reading Jane Eyre, and in this past year especially, I thought about that again. I revisited my own thoughts about Rosemary Kennedy, and I had to ask myself this really awful question, but had Rochester been given, you know, the knowledge and choice of lobotomy as a, quote, cure for madness or, you know, erratic behavior, would he have opted to do that, you know, to have his wife undergo that operation? And part of me thinks he would have, you know, because, I mean, Joe Kennedy didn't know it would destroy his daughter's brain. It wasn't, he didn't do that maliciously. I think not telling his wife about it was a little malicious, but what do I know? I'm not going to go there. But, I mean, this was an operation that was touted at the time as being helpful, as being a treatment. And I think Rochester, in his desperation, at any time before he met Jane, he might have opted for something like this for Bertha. You know, maybe somebody should write that fan fiction. But I mean, what do you think about just in our lifetimes, and maybe a little earlier than our lifetimes, the issues of mental health and the things that are kind of touted as cures or treatments, and then, you know, like electroshock therapy, lobotomies, things like that, different drugs that are, you know, that are found to be beneficial supposedly, and then within a certain number of years, suddenly it's like, oh my God, no, that's a terrible drug. Don't give people that. It's very destructive. You know, I mean, there's so many things that we rely on for medical science that you know, help take away the stigmas for mental illness. But not all of them are successful. Not all of them are actual positive, beneficial treatments. And so in our lifetimes, you know, coming to grips with that conflict of awareness about mental conditions and their what causes them, chemical imbalances, things that people cannot control. It's not erratic behavior, because that makes it sound like you're just acting crazy. But behavior caused by chemical imbalances or other problems, abnormal situations within the brain, people can't control that, you know. And just looking at, you know, addiction, you know, now is treated as an illness, not as a behavioral problem, right? So we've seen these changes, we've seen more awareness, we've seen more, as you said, softening of how we look at these issues, and yet here is a perfect example in Jane Eyre of, you know, kind of a one-sided view of this, I don't know how to say it, this poor woman locked up in an attic for most of her adult life, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I think they raised the question within Jane Eyre, why is Bertha like this? Because Jane, you know, brings up to Rochester, you know, why do you hate her? She can't help this.
Yes.
And he says, it's not because she's mad that I hate her, and then goes into the, you know, well, and, you know, she was licentious, and he doesn't really go into whether it was an affair or not. Mm-hmm. I think it's implied, but maybe it was being a sassy lady. I don't know.
Right. Back in the day, you didn't actually have to consummate a flirtation to be socially unacceptable, you know? So,
but
who
I
knows?
Think that there's implied that, mental illness can be, there's a genetic component, and that is implied by Rochester and Mason, that I didn't know that she came from a mad mother. So it's bad blood that made her this way.
Yeah, and there's a hint of racism
and
in that.
And I think there's also definitely the argument that is implied that it is her moral failings that make her mentally unstable. And so, yeah, I think that in general, you're right, that we have in some ways progressed beyond that. We're like, okay, we understand better about the dopamine and the serotonin and different things, but not that we understand it completely.
No.
And so we do have that, but even the idea of one's sinful nature can cause mental illness. Like, I even saw that today on Reddit, there was a question posted and people debating about, well, is mental illness caused by sin? I'm like, ooh, you getting dangerous.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, ooh.
So yes, I think we have increased understanding, but I think a lot of misunderstanding still.
Yeah, I agree. And I think to try to narrow our focus back to Jane Eyre, because talking about, you know, the overall overarching issue could just be episode upon episode upon episode for us to record. But for Jane Eyre in particular, I personally, my gut feeling every time I read this book, even as recently as this year, is that is poor Bertha. I do not believe she was insane. I believe she was a volatile personality, could possibly have some bipolar or something like that, but I just, mostly because we only get the one-sided story of her, I'm not trusting enough of Mr. Rochester to believe that he knows the truth about Bertha, because for so much of the book he's not even telling the truth about himself to himself, Jane, us, anybody. So he's not a trustworthy narrator of Bertha in my mind. So at, you know, when all's said and done, the dust is settled, my recap is Bertha is a victim, not, you know, a deserving, protected, incarcerated woman. I feel that she's a victim of her time, a victim of her family, a victim of Rochester, and that's just how I feel about Bertha. But
sure, I think that's a very valid interpretation.
I could be wrong, you know.
I see it personally as I see enough signs that she has some form of genuine mental illness that I believe there is something besides just being a strong female personality. I think that's there too. But I do agree that she is treated abominably.
Yeah. And I think what you said is interesting, that she has some mental problems or issues in her behavior, and this is where it gets really tricky, because, you know, it's one of those there before the grace of God go I things, because who knows how we would lash out, react against some of the confines and the controlling nature of her family. Probably from childhood she was volatile, tempestuous, you know, who knows, in modern terms it might have been called artistic even, or something, dramatic, melodramatic, and she was squelched, right? We get that impression that she was always a problem in her family, and they palmed her off on Rochester, innocent Rochester, and then he had to deal with it. Well, how do we, you know, it's hard to judge how much of her craziness was caused by not her own, you know, frustrations of how she was treated for her whole life, rather than being some true, you know, chemical imbalance or problem in her brain. We don't know. Right. We just don't know. And I lean on the side of feeling like she was a victim. That's, you know, I just lean that way upon the rereading of the book.
Right. No, I think either one is very possible.
Yeah.
Join us next time as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.